this year that we love happy endings. In fact, that's often anchored to a fictional story. A fictional story is the world. There's no happy ending. You, as the author, the writer, the person that's in charge of it, why is bleaking? Does it make any sense? You have control of the whole story, and then you kill off everybody's favorite character, Peter. What's wrong with you? That's what I'm saying. Now, in true story, obviously, in true story, many do not end well. So you get three paths with those. But thankfully, this is a true story, and it is well. That's what we see in chapter 4. Scripture in a negative sense, it's a scary success, and yet it's also a blessing and a gift. And we see that here in this book of the shadow being represented in several times in the psalm, the shadow of God, like the means of an underground. Some of the cultural things there, and then we're going to apply it at the end. city gate. So people came, especially those who went out to the field, into the city and into the field. And so Boaz was sitting there thinking, I'm going to wait here and see if I can see this guy that he was talking about in chapter 3, this other closer kinsman redeemer to Ruth. There's a pecking order, and Boaz knew that he wasn't next in line, but this other guy was. And so he's going to wait for him. And look again, coincidence. He just happens to see him. So God's there, he is waiting. He's got his other body. He's just doing it. Turn this out of time. Come sit in. There's business to be had. And so this redeemer came. Something. Who is responsible for the economic well-being of the planet, of family. God's gracious provision, especially for females. They didn't have a lot of options, and yet God gave them options through the law. It was to protect the land, it was to protect the name of the family. There's several reasons that Goliath gives them a deal. To buy back the military property from another family. To purchase freedom to the family who sold into the debt of slavery. You can pay your debts here and then become your slave. And so the way I could redeem the money. A third reason, the third aspect of the founding scripture is that avenging, they get avenged by another family. Well, this city calls him up, and he calls him in these certain business days, and he calls him friend. Now, friend is a very loose translation of what we find here in the Hebrew. Literally, it's Zulani Alman, a rhyming. And in a sense here, that Jacob gives him this rhyming nickname, and it's kind of akin to maybe something in a song that Joe Smoke. Hey, Joe Smoke, come on over here today. Now, does Boaz know this guy's thirsty? In fact, the Hebrew book is translated as so-and-so. This is so-and-so. Because I can't remember something in the so-and-so, you know, Hebrew. Doesn't have a name. There's something to that. He's here. There's a name. So he's gathered the leadership of Joel of Jesus and Jesus. Jesus. And he took 10 men and the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they said, this is going to be some legal transaction. These are 10 witnesses, 10 elders in the community. And he said to the deeper, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling a parcel of land that belonged to a prophet in Lebanon. So if I were to tell you about it, he'd say, but in the presence of those sitting here, and in the presence of the elders of my people, if you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not tell me that I may know, there is no one besides you to redeem it. So he said, I'm ready. Very simple. Transaction. He gathered the leadership. He said, no, Naomi's issue that the land needs redeeming. Now he says, sell it. It's not necessarily so much that the land is for sale, but the rights to kill everyone and to provide and use the profits in order to provide for the Naomi and Ruth. This guy has a bad heart. There's even no emotion in this. Okay, I need to tell you a little bit more about this. Sorry, you buy the field from the hands of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite. Bonds friend, the view of the dead in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Okay, maybe they're sitting down, so I'll do it. The paperwork comes out, they're ready to sign. Oh, by the way, there's Ruth. She needs to be married. And it's you. in here that I can have to do it for myself. I'm not trying to carry my own inheritance. Take my right to redemption for yourself, or I can't hear you. The ball of the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah. This is our favorite passage in the book of Thomas, where this is the big comparison. Considered among them, which is being compared to some of the elite, the, in a sense, the free royalty of Israel. And he said, what they did is ask to be a place like them. This is always specific kind of area of the form to Judah. Now, this was an old slavery kind of situation. The number of Jews keeps up here. They might pose as a prostitute and treat Judah as a good fighter. But there's some significance here that flows into this concept. By making such huge comparisons, this isn't just cloud or language of blessing. I would be like Rachel and Leah, like your house would be like that and kill them. As a maidservant, and then she upgraded that and she became a servant and a servant now she's a have given you a restorer of life, the nurturer of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more than receptive more to you than seven sons has given birth to you. What a blessing. These are the same neighbors in the world that she has come back to and said, no longer they are the father of men. It's what they are called. But we're going to talk to Jenny and she has a lot to be finished. This child that was born replaces Boaz. Did you catch that? He's the redeemer. Son Boaz. He's the new redeemer for us. He signals new hope, meaning for the future, true blessing. And yet, the real true blessing is Savior. Transmission in those days for the first time, and he gets 17, over the top of the way, and the people of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naaman, a Jew. And he's been open, he's the father of Jesse, the father of Naaman. What? We just thought this was a great story of God blessing to his family. This is a big deal. This is David's family, most likely. This was written and told at the time when David was king, or been king. And so the confirmation of David's throne was seen in God's hand on every step of the way. And it's a twist, this huge twist to it. And amazing. Tobin had a song of ambiguous different stories in his sermon. Possibly he was singing the whole fitting name for his work here. So really the few times that he's mentioned, a few other times, but this is it. No details to his life other than he's a grandfather of King David, with the possibility that he was the heir of David's ordination. What a twist. And it's interesting, too, it's unprecedented that it says here that the neighbor is Nathan. Not the mom and dad, not the family, but the neighbor. Now, it's possible that it's just an affirmation of the name that gave us, but either way, so we're going to proclaim are real people. This is a real story. This isn't a myth. This isn't George Washington jumping down the Cherokee. This is true. This is real for the people of Israel to understand and understand anyone. And obedience, the Bible that includes Matthew, you will see a similar genealogy that comes to not just David, but to this is 200 years after Jesus descended, he has 10 commandments, and he has a specific law for the Jewish people. Remember, they need theocracy. God was their king, and that was a new question. We need a king. You have God, you don't do that to the other nation. Look at that. You can see the long line that we have David, the best. And after that, you can have for the best. There were even fairly close. And they were trusting these. They put themselves at the mercy of God's law. God's moral law remains. The law is beautiful. You don't have to be trusting it because you're not. If you're not living, you're not supposed to be trusting it because you're not. We have God's moral law that has been affirmed in the New Testament, but that never changes God's character, never changes, and what he expects of us never changes. And just like the law did, and the law does now, it reminds us that we need a Savior. For many of you, you have experienced the mercy of God's name. Each generation challenges the relevancy of God's commandments. What the commandments of marriage can look like, what sex can look like, what God's kingdom, and the generations that follow us are out. But the meek trust is what meek trust when he calls you to do, but it's the best part. Because God designed things like marriage, sex, human story. And it gets that implication of the neighbor's faith. Is this part of the blessing of inheritance? The blessing we have as sons, so to speak, in the Holy Spirit. And yet, you have now over 10 years of and it's important to sons. And how many of you say you came back empty, but you had this blessing all along? Thank you. therefore, he shall give them up to the time which she who is my heir is in her life. And the man of his brother shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For many shall be great to the nations of the earth. Which is the rescue of Israel from slavery in Egypt. This is greater than the slavery that Jesus has left in slavery. We renowned.